Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 28th day of June 2021. And today I have a very special guest on the program. This is the man that almost became my pastor, but by God's mercy, he dodged a bullet. That is my very dear friend, Pastor Josh Fryman, who was at one time the pastor of Community Baptist Church of Riverhead, Long Island, where I almost became a member before the Lord made it clear to me that he had different plans for me, and that was to move to Pennsylvania. But Pastor Josh Fryman is currently the pastor of New Testament Baptist Church of Larimore, North Dakota. And today we are addressing a very timely and controversial theme, politics and current events in the pulpit, the church's responsibility to find and to maintain the biblical balance. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Josh Fryman.
Thanks, Chris. I'm honored to be on.
Well, first of all, let our listeners know about New Testament Baptist Church of Larimore, North Dakota.
Well, we are a church of, I think, filled with great people. I was privileged to move here 3 years ago. I served as an assistant pastor until the previous pastor retired. And then about 18 months ago, the church graciously voted to bring me on as their pastor. And we're located 60 miles south of the Canadian border, and about a half hour west of the Minnesota border. So that's where we're located, and it's in a great part of the country. I've said this other places, so I'll go ahead and say it on your show, too. Although I don't know that I've ever said it to as large of an audience as your show. But I believe North Dakota's probably the best-kept secret in the Union. So,
well, praise God for that, being sandwiched between two communist republics.
yeah. The joke was back last year when everything was going crazy with the pandemic that we really don't have to change anything because North Dakota has been social distancing since 1889.
Well, I hope that the Lord provides for me the opportunity to visit you out there sometime. I've never been to North Dakota, but
We'd love to have you.
Great. And for anybody who would like to find out more information about New Testament Baptist Church of Larimore, North Dakota, you can go to Larimore NTBC, which stands for New Testament Baptist Church, .org. Larimore, Larimore, NTBC .org. And I know that you are the son of a Baptist pastor. I don't know how if the lineage of pastors goes back any further than that, but is your dad still pastoring?
He is. I just want to say a quick word, if I may, and I know that I don't want to bore your listeners with, but the website will soon be updated, so that's a good thing. So you've just motivated me to make sure we do that sooner than later.
I guess that's why the pastor's picture, he's wearing a Union Army uniform, and there's a different name than yours.
Right. Yeah, yeah, a lot of history here. My dad does. He pastor in Massillon, Ohio, Cornerstone Baptist Church. He just this month actually celebrated his 41st year there as the pastor. And if the Lord allows, he'll be retiring here one of these days. And I hope he's able to soon. He's earned it. And I did have a grandfather, Delmer Powell. That's my mom's father. He was a missionary in Ethiopia. And I wish I had thought to tell you about him earlier. He's a really interesting story there. I have some videos I'll send you later. He was converted while he was managing a drive-in movie theater, and he kind of was ahead of his time with technology. He believed, you know, that was going to be the way motion pictures and things like that. Would have been in the right after World War II. And so he invested into that. And he had his own equipment. So back in the 1960s, when he went to Ethiopia, he took a lot of video, or it wouldn't be videos, reel to reel, but a lot of what we would call video footage. And so a lot of people that were contemporaries of his have pictures, you know, from camera. But he actually has some video footage of his time over there as a missionary. He was a missionary in Ethiopia from 1961 to 1968. That's my family. Yeah, my father is a pastor, and my father-in-law is a pastor. So,
of course, I have met your dad, but I've known your father-in-law for many years, long before I ever met you. In fact, it might have been even been before you were a Christian.
Yeah, there's no need to rub that in.
Wow.
We all get it, Chris. You know everybody, all right?
Oh, boy. I needed that laugh, actually. And send your in-laws and your father. I've never met your mom, but send your in-laws my greetings. And
I will. Thank you.
And I hope some of them are listening today. Now, can you repeat the city in Ohio where your dad pastors?
Massillon. It's near Canton.
How do you spell Massillon?
Massillon.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, hope the folks in Ohio will make note of that and visit your dad's church as well. Well, this is a topic that we are addressing today that divides the body of Christ, even divides brothers and sisters in Christ that are identical otherwise in theology and doctrine and practice, might even divide people in the same pew. They may be very concerned, dismayed, and discouraged by their own pulpit, depending upon what side of the fence they are on in regard to politics and current events in the pulpit. But what was the driving force behind you wanting to discuss this topic today?
Well, it's one that has come up, as you just mentioned. It's come up several times. I was asked recently by someone from another church. They said, you know, how can I pray for my pastor? And I thought that was a great question. And I didn't want to just give a quick answer. I wanted to think about it. But, you know, the more I did pray and think about it, I thought, well, you know, this is what I need as well, and that is the ability to stand behind the pulpit in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and in a way that's effective for the church, and that's only done through preaching the word and feeding the flock. And I know that there's a lot of temptation right now, especially with social media the way it is and how everything's kind of in our faces, not just our folks in the church, but also pastors. And so there's all this information, and there could be a temptation. I'm not saying every pastor experiences this, but there could be a temptation to try to figure out, okay, which topic should I address this week? You know, which what's in the news recently, you know, how should I prepare our church for this, you know, how should I lead them to think in this situation, and I think that could actually be problematic. That's why the politics in the pulpit, I would be on the side where politics should not be in the pulpit. And that's not saying I don't think that we should address current events. I'm not saying we shouldn't address issues. We absolutely should, but in the context of Scripture and faithfully expositing Scripture, and whether it be going through a book or going through a text or whatever the Lord has you at that time. But I think to constantly be in a reactive mode is not a good thing. So I answered the question as pray for your pastor, get that he had discernment and what to do that would be namely pleasing to the Lord, and then secondly effective for your church. And the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, this is something I'm on social media. I have friends that we have private message conversations, and you know, we just see the interaction on kind of what's trending in Christendom. And you know, the reality hit that, you know, most people in our churches, they, not that they don't care about those things, but it's not as important to them as perhaps what we make it out to be. So you have, you know, I guess what I'm saying is you have all these voices already, right? You're one of them, so I'm thankful that there's good voices out there. But radio, podcasts, YouTube, you know, vlogs, websites, TV, you name it. There are dozens of voices that people have in their lives, and there has to be a place they can go where they know they're hearing the truth. It's not shaded in any way. It is the truth, and the God designed a place for that. It's the church. It's the we're the pillar and ground of the truth. And so when they come to church, they should expect and they should get truth, you know, not an opinion, not a thought about a political candidate, not an opinion about a presidential candidate, or, you know, not a message in support of the president, or a message in, you know, against the president. And this does happen, by the way. In Texas, there was a guy, Robert Jeffers. He has on the Lord's Day, brother. I mean, this is on the Lord's Day. He has Sean Hannity from Fox News on his platform. And I just thought about that, and I thought, well, that's really tragic, you know? I mean, that nothing against watching the news, but on the Lord's Day?
Right. Sean Hannity, is, I think, at best a nominal Roman Catholic. He was actually attending an evangelical church on Long Island for quite a while with his wife, but then he left there, and this was years ago that he left there and returned. Mm-hmm. Return to the Catholic Church, but I don't know right now if he has remained in the Catholic Church or any church for that matter. But it's clear, as much as I may agree most of the time, not all the time, even politically with Sean, I don't think he understands the gospel.
Right, and there's a place for that. You know, hey, Thursday night, you want to have a meeting, that's fine, but it's the Lord's Day. And this is the church meeting together. We're assembling ourselves together. Psalm 89 speaks about this. This is not a New Testament principle, the idea of God's people assembling. Psalm 89 in verse 7, the psalmist says that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. So that's what we're doing at church. You know, we're assembling as God's people, and we're ready to hear the word of God. We're reverencing him. It's not a time to come together and kind of have a pep rally about Republican or conservatism. And actually, that's my greatest fear for American churches, is that somehow, and I think if you were any person who was honest, they look at the kind of landscape of Christian, quote-unquote, social media, American conservatism has become almost synonymous with biblical Christianity. At least you would think that, the way some people behave, and it's just not. It's not the same thing. And I have conservative values. I'm not saying that conservatives are wrong, but we're Christians first. That's the whole point. We're Christians first. And I guess if I could sum it up this way, and you have to forgive me here, I'm not a seasoned interviewee. I don't know what I'm called, but I'll really try hard not to ramble, but if you think about it, and this is kind of the burden back to what I was talking about earlier, there are these things that are dangerous, there are these things that are out there, and we would be foolish to not acknowledge them and to act like they're not there. But the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit, is something called temperance, right? This is balance. This is self-control. And it's the ability to not swing all the way over to one side and, you know, or the other. And I think especially in the pulpit, you have to have the right balance. And the scripture is the only thing that's going to ensure that we do that. So when people come into our church, and I realize, you know, we live in North Dakota, it's a different environment, different culture, but people are souls everywhere. You know, people have needs everywhere. And the scripture has the same thing for Christians in North Dakota as it does for Christians in Bangladesh or Pakistan or China or New York, you know. And the all the subjects out there, you know, the woke culture, critical race theory, the left, liberals, you know, conservatives, Democrats, all this stuff, There could be a temptation to deal with those things, but many of our folks, brother, they're coming in and they need help in their marriage. You know, they need help with their kids. They're having issues on the job. They want to know how to witness more effectively. They want to, or they need to be taught how to disciple. You know, these are also major things and very important. And I just think it's important for us, for those of us that are privileged to serve a church as a pastor, to make sure that we are approaching the pulpit and approaching our responsibility to pass as pastors effectively, and not just in a way that is reacting to things that are out in the world and it's that they're there, but what about our churches? You know, what about our people? And when I say our people, I mean, I know the Lord's people, but, you know, the church that we've been privileged to serve at. So I hope that makes sense.
Yes, and I happen to be one who loves and believes the best biblically faithful methodology to preaching is expositional, expository preaching, where books of the Bible are gone through, studied, examined, exegeted by the preacher, pastor.
Yeah, amen.
And so that the congregation and even those visiting gets a understanding of God's word in context, and that topical preaching, was that which has its time and place for appropriateness, if that is the weekly habit of a pastor or preacher to be involved in topical preaching, it may lend itself to hobby horsing. But
sure.
But having said that, I don't even know if you'll disagree with me, but if an area of the scripture that happens to be the area for that Sunday, during an expositional examination of certain texts, happens to directly involve in some way something that is going on in our culture, like homosexuality, like murder of the unborn, what have you, or even the evil of wokeism and critical race theory, obviously those things are not in the scriptures by that title, or those titles, I should say, but certainly thinking of oneself more highly than he ought, and brother hating brother because of their skin color, their ethnicity, these things are in the scriptures. Certainly, when you have something as gravely important and dangerous and anti-scriptural as wokeism, as critical race theory, as intersectionality, all of these things that have come to infiltrate and overrun even churches that were once biblically faithful and some that still claim to be, but they have that intermingled in their teaching. Don't you think that a congregation should not be left in ignorance?
Oh, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I think the Bible says that the men of Issachar, they were men of that understanding of the times, and that was a good thing. Our churches should be equipped, but I think as pastors we have to remember that they are the church, and they have the Holy Spirit, they have the Word of God, and my primary responsibility is to nourish them and feed them the scriptures. And I'll give you an example that happened here at our church. We're going through the book of Acts right now, and there were several times that right in the study of Acts, it met right with what's going on in our world. And I did preach a message on how we ought to obey God rather than man, and I explained how that would be seen in practical ways and how we want to be good neighbors to our community, but we also don't want to negate the responsibility we have as Christians first, and we dealt with it. But then I moved on. I didn't spend 4 weeks on it. I didn't make it a, kind of like our thing. I didn't flood Facebook with, the dangers of it and all that. And there are dangers. I'm not saying that there's not. But let me give you another illustration, and I hope this makes sense. I had someone close to me very recently who was sick, and they had something going on, and they needed to get better, obviously. And what they did not receive from the doctor was a 4-week dissertation on how evil their disease was. What they received basically was medicine. It was nourishment. And this nourishment, the feeding, the medicine, it put the body in a position to be strong enough to get over the sickness, right? And I thought about that, and I thought, that's really what preaching should be. Preaching, when the church shows up, preaching is like, it is right into the veins of the church, truth and God's word and God's thoughts and God's expectations for believers. And then as a pastor, my job is to feed the church, but then also to trust the church, right? Like, if the church is strong spiritually, if they're fed well, then they're gonna know how to discern right from wrong. They don't need me to hold their hand in every area. They don't need me to tell them how to think or how to believe. I've done my diligence to know the state of the flock. I've prayed, I've studied, I've prepared. Now I'm going to feed them what the Lord has, and then they're being nourished. They're able to then go out and live as the church. And Chris, the thing is, if we sort of sit back from this, right, and we look at this with our Christian eyes, right, not necessarily our American ones, and we would find really quickly that this is nothing new. Like, Christians have lived through difficult times for centuries. And one of the most famous books in the New Testament, which got verses that are quoted all the time, Philippians, Paul said to the church at Philippi, chapter 2-ish, I think. But he said, I'm going to try to see if I can find it here, but he was talking about them doing everything without murmuring and disputing. And then here's what he said. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst. So they're in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Incidentally, the same epistle he would write about being happy, having joy in your heart, having joy in the Lord. So how do we shine as lights in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation? Well, the same way they did, the believers of Philippi did, or Pontus, or Cappadocia, or Galatia, you name it. He says in the next verse, holding forth the word of life. So that's how Thessalonica became an example church. From them sounded out the word of the Lord. And everything keeps going back to the scriptures. And incidentally, and forgive me for rambling here, but I think this is an important point. When Paul said, you're in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation 2,000 years ago, okay, well then, there's a good chance Christians 2,000 years later are going to be in the same boat. God preserved that epistle on purpose. But two chapters later, he says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are, and then he lists things that we have to think on, things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. And in Romans 16, toward the end of the chapter, in Romans, toward the end of the book, Paul says that he would have us simple concerning evil. And you know the simpleton is, some of us know a lot, right? So we're to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So I'm definitely not saying that we should be ignorant of what's going on in the world. Absolutely not. We should be informed, absolutely. But we have to balance it. If all we're focusing on is how bad everything is in the world, and then we have this misplaced shock. I can't believe it. Why are we shocked by that? So if there's any group of people in the world that should not be surprised how bad things are, it should be the Lord's people, because the Lord said this would happen. And the Lord, you know, tells us how the world thinks. And the world is the world. And the world is full of idolatry and immorality, and it's why they need the gospel. And I guess that's my main point that I was going to try to lead up to a little bit later, but we'll jump onto it now, is that that's really our mission, is getting the gospel to the world. It's not to sit back and point at how bad the world is and say, I can't believe, you know, look at the hypocrisy of Biden and Kamala Harris, and, you know, look at what this Democrat Congress did. It's wrong. Abortion's wrong. But immorality is wrong. Heterosexual immorality is wrong. Homosexual immorality is wrong. It's all sin. But there's an answer for it. It's the gospel.
In fact, we have to pick up right where you left off there, because we have to go to our first break.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to join us with a question of your own for Pastor Josh Fryman, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Whether you agree with Pastor Josh, whether you vehemently disagree, whether you are just not certain, even if you're not a Christian, we would love to hear from you. In fact, especially if you're not a Christian. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Josh Fryman right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the full 2 hours today, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Pastor Josh Fryman of New Testament Baptist Church of Larimore, North Dakota. We are discussing a very timely and controversial theme, politics and current events in the pulpit, the church's responsibility to find and to maintain the biblical balance. Our email address, if you have a question of your own, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. You were just saying before the break that the gospel is the answer to every dilemma and evil faced by mankind, and if you could pick up.
Sure, in which I know that that's nothing, you know, I know that your listeners know that already. I bring that up only because if you, like, let's go back to critical race theory, woke culture, that kind of thing, which is wrong. And there are lots of Bible that we could use to show, including principles like James teaches that wisdom from above is without partiality. So if there are things that we make decisions on that are not based on truth, but based on skin color or based on upbringing or based on class or whatever it is, we have to be careful because we are to be making good judgment, we're to be making righteous judgment, we're to be discerning. Jude talks about knowing to be able to make a difference, have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, right? There's not a cookie-cutter solution to all of life's problems unless you're talking about the spiritual one, which is the sin that separates man from God. That's the gospel. And I've said this, I've used this illustration before. You know, all this talk in our world about racial reconciliation, you know, we wish we could all get along. I wish we were all on the same page. You know, I wish that everybody, you know, got along and didn't fight and all this. And, you know, Christians are over here saying, well, go to a Bible preaching church and you'll find it. How is it that there are congregations all across the country that have rich people, poor people, Latino, Asian, black, white, all different cultures, and everyone gets along just fine? How did that happen? Well, we would say quite convictionally, it's Christ. Paul reminded this to the Church of Corinth. He reminded the Church of Corinth about this, I should say. When there were divisions and schisms in the church, not in the world, this is in the church, they got issues with each other. By the time you get to chapter 10, he's pointing them towards the Lord's Supper table. And this communion, which is our common union, is Christ. And at the Lord's Supper table, you don't have, favorites. You can't. I mean, we're all the same at the foot of the cross. And I know you've heard that before, but that's not cliche. That's real. That's doctrine. We're all sinners saved by grace. So, yes, there is an answer to the world, and it is the gospel, and that's not just looks good on a missions poster. That's real, and helping our churches understand that is so important, a part of our ministry, that it's good to discern evil, and I'm not in any way suggesting we ignore it. We absolutely should discern evil. I've used this illustration before about pastors. Shepherds don't hate wolves, but they love sheep. But if you saw a shepherd killing a wolf, you'd say, well, why is he being so mean to that wolf? Well, it has nothing to do with him hating the wolf. It has everything to do with him loving his sheep. And so you better believe there are times when we have to go on the offensive, and we attack, and we show, and we protect the flock. But that's not a pastor's sole responsibility. He's not only to protect the flock. He's also to feed the flock. And that's why I appreciate the way you titled the program today, is that it's not ignoring one side or the other. It's finding the proper balance. And I just think with today, with so much information coming at us, it's very easy to become unbalanced. And so the gospel is the answer. And it's one thing to sit back and say, look how evil this is. And we should. You should discern evil. You should know. But don't be consumed by it. Don't be overwhelmed by it. You have to engage it. It is dark, but we have the light. And there are people that need Christ. There's people that need the gospel. And that's our job. That's our responsibility. And so while Facebook may be an easy place to share funny memes that make fun of the president or make fun of Democrats, it's also a place that can be used to share the gospel, that you can type out your testimony, that you can share a video of a gospel presentation. And so that's what I'm getting at, is that there's nothing wrong with pointing out error, but make sure you then point to the truth. I've said this, that our church here, you know, someone commented, and I praise the Lord for this. This is not, I'm not patting myself on the back. This is the Lord's goodness in my life and helping me. But they notice I don't run down other denominations. Now, I have run down other denominations' doctrine. I've showed from the Bible why Roman Catholicism is a false gospel, and why, you know, the Pope and, you know, people that hold to that are false, and I have no problem with that. But they noticed in the preaching that I didn't take a lot of time on that to just make fun of or talk about how, you know, I can't believe they do this. And my response to them was that, well, there is a time to point out error. There is a time to expose it, for sure. But we don't want to waste all our time on that. We want to expose it, show it's wrong, and then get to the light, then get to the cross, then point to Christ. And why would I want to preach 45 minutes? And if anybody from my church is listening, they're laughing right now, because I usually go 55 to 65 minutes. But why would I want to preach, 45 of the 55 minutes on how wrong the world is, when I can show that this it's wrong? But then here's the answer. This is why you can have hope. What did Peter wrote for his epistle? Don't think it's strange. You're going to enter fiery trials. Some come from without. The Lord sends some into our life. But this is part of the Christian life. And we can be good testimonies through this. We can be good examples through this, that the gospel works, not only through reconciliation, but also just enduring and persevering. And it's real. And this is not just religious talk. Christ is real, and he changes lives, and he gives life, and he enables us to do things we otherwise should not be able to do, like be happy in the middle of a pandemic, be happy in the middle of inflation rising. How can you have a peace? Well, I know it passes understanding to someone who doesn't know the Lord, but let me tell you what the Bible says. And then we can go back to that if you want. But I do want to say one quick illustration for about the balance, because while we were on break, I was thinking about this and really asking the Lord to help me. I don't say that frivolously. I genuinely was. And I think we find a good example. And like I said, I went to the Book of Acts with our church. We're almost done with it. We're in chapter 24 right now. Little plug for our live stream. But anyway. The Apostle Paul was arrested at Philippi. And the Bible says that he was beaten, he was scourged, he was thrown into prison, and he never said a word. Then the earthquakes, chains fall off, prison doors swing open, the jailer comes in. You're familiar with the story. The Philippian jailer is converted, he's saved, and then he's washing Paul's stripes, right? And he says, hey, good news, you're able to go. But Paul didn't say, praise the Lord, I'm out of here. He said, I'm not so fast. I'm a Roman citizen. I have rights. Well, what's interesting to me about that, Chris, is that he had rights when he was getting beaten, too. He had rights when he was thrown into prison, but he never said anything. And I believe it's a good example of how the gospel and Christ is preeminent, not prominent, but preeminent. Christ and the gospel is not just one thing out of a bunch of things. It's one thing over everything. This is Colossians 1. Christ is worthy to have preeminence in all things. So the Apostle Paul, using discernment, and this goes back to fruit of the Spirit, you know, we have to be led by the Spirit, temperance and joy, peace, all the things that go with that. The Apostle Paul, he says, as a Roman citizen, nope, just endure it, take it. There's something else. God's doing something else right now. God's at work doing something else. And then after the man got saved and his family, then knowing, okay, that's why we were here. We've obeyed. We finished what we believe the Lord wanted us to do. Then he said, hey, not so fast. I have rights as a Roman citizen. And he held them accountable. And I think that's a really good illustration of the balance I'm trying to talk about. He didn't ignore the fact that he had rights as a Roman citizen. He brought them up. But it wasn't his main message. It wasn't his biggest offense was that my rights as a Roman citizen are being removed and I'm being abused. He genuinely believed that there is something here for the gospel's sake. And I just think, and I'm not suggesting I've arrived or I have it perfect, but I can promise you I'm trying to get there. And this is where I want to live. It's where I want our church to live, where we are focused on our mission as Christians first, then everything else. And I found a quote, and I just want to read it to you real quick. This is from Charles Spurgeon. He says, though the harrow go over and over thy soul and the deep plow cut into thy very heart, though thou be maimed and wounded and left for dead, yet if the Spirit of God do it, it is a blessing indeed. And that is exactly, I just preached to 1 Peter recently. It's why it's a little fresh on my heart. But this is why Peter says you come through more valuable. And you and I have had discussions before, brother, where how weak the American churches are and how there's such a appetite for the world. There is almost a mockery of things that would be considered holy and right and righteous. Just the family itself, you know, a father, a mother, and children, a lady wanting to be a mom, wanting to be a wife. These are godly things. These are good things. A husband, a father, a man being content, you know, to live the rest of his life with one woman. Oh, that's old fashioned. That's made, but you know, even in some Christian quote unquote circles, and you and I have discussed in the past how liberal things were going, and I just think that now we're seeing the fruition of it, where a lot of churches, their greatest offense, or the thing that causes them to stumble sooner than another, isn't the fact that God is offended by sin and that we have the answer in the gospel and we have to preach it. It's that, you know, our rights are being removed. Let me give you a real life example, and then I'll be quiet here. I'm eating into the 90 minutes that we have remaining. So this is on Facebook. All right. This is a man who professes to be a Christian. I'm not saying he's not saved. I'm just telling you that he says he's a Christian. And he puts up there about his guns and the Second Amendment, and if you want my guns, you can come and take them and then see what happens. So let's think through that. And I know that we chuckle at that, but I mean, come on, right? I mean, what is he implying? And is that really the best way that we represent the Christ that we say saved our lives, and, you know, he's the head of our church, and he's the one who we strive to live after. And if someone says, well, you know, it's you know, not a big deal, you know, sin is the way, or death is the wage of sin, and they're sinners, and, you know, they deserve to die anyway, you know, we'd be better off without them in our population. Okay. James and John thought the same thing about a certain Samaritan village. And Jesus, who had already had his face set toward Jerusalem, stopped and turned because of their poor spirit and poor attitude. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 that Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what spirit you are. I'm paraphrasing. But the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And if James and John, this wasn't Thaddeus, and, you know, these weren't outliers. This was James and John. If James and John were susceptible to a spirit where they can be condemnatory and writing off an entire group of people because their ego had been affected, well, then better. I'm going to be, it's possible for me too, and I have to watch out for that. I also need to, as a pastor, equip and feed and teach and train and lead my church, not just by preaching, but by example, that we cannot be like that. You know, we can't do that. So that spirit is very possible. People are drawing lines all over the place. You're on my side or the other side, and if you're not on my side, then you're my enemy. But there's a lot of lines. There's a lot of lines being drawn.
In fact, we have to pick up right where you left off, because we have to go to our midway break right now. If anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. This is the longer than normal break, folks, so please be patient with us, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because the FCC requires of them to localize all of their programming, including this one, geographically to Lake City, Florida. So they air their own public service announcements and other things, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercial. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. At the very least, when you can't purchase anything they're selling, use their services, visit their churches, or support their parachurch organizations, please, at the very least, reply to our advertisers and say, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You'll never know how much that means to me. That is indeed, of course, if that's true. If you really love the show, and you are grateful to our sponsors for keeping us on the air, because they are absolutely essential to our survival. We cannot remain on the air without the funding that comes from our advertisers. So please, at the very least, thank them for sponsoring our show, and send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back, God willing, right after these messages from our sponsors. So do not go away.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is supreme over all. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with the family.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gatti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gatti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gatti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in his holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every
today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, how vital, how absolutely essential solid-ground-books.com is to the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Without the financial support that comes from their advertising campaigns, we would likely go off the air, barring a miracle from God financially, of course. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to do us a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor of incalculable value, and everyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present, going all the way back to the Protestant Reformation and all the way forward to today, including by such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently and generously, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Pastor Josh Fryman on our theme, Politics and Current Events in the Pulpit, the Church's Responsibility to Find and to Maintain the Biblical Balance, we just have some important announcements to make. First of all, please pray for Mike Gadosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com. I just found out last night that his father-in-law, Frank Schleip, went home to glory with Christ after 97 years. And we not only mourn with the Gadosh and Schleip family over this loss, but we also rejoice in knowing that with certainty Frank is with his Lord God, Savior, and King, who he faithfully served for so many decades, and is finally resting from his labors in the indescribable, infinite joy of the eternal presence of his Savior. So please pray for Mike Gadosh's wife, Susie, and all of the Gadoshes and Schleips as they mourn this loss. Also, to remind you, my brother John, my oldest brother, 76 years old, with cancer, critical stage emphysema, and inoperable aneurysm, is in the hospital, and thank God, all of you who have been praying, your prayers have borne fruit, because my brother John is conscious, and he has had three visits during this recent visit in the hospital, this recent stay in the hospital. He has had three visits from my very dear friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, who many of you may have heard on this program. He has been interviewed quite a number of times on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I just thank God that Mac is nearby in Texas ministering to my brother and his wife, Jan. And my wife, Jan, just about a minute or so before I returned live after those commercials were airing, his wife, Jan, contacted me, thanking me from the bottom of her heart for Mac Tomlinson and his visits that they have come to cherish. Please pray that not only that the Lord has mercy on my brother physically and heals him, but infinitely more important, that my brother makes a clear, discernible, or gives a clear and discernible evidence that he has truly embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please pray that the Lord is merciful to me in giving me the comfort of knowing with great confidence that my brother is on his way to meet his Savior face to face for eternity. I would really appreciate it. Also pray for my brother Bob, as he is having a tumor removed from his bladder this Wednesday, a tumor that I believe is cancerous, and my brother Bob is 54 years old. I'm sorry, 64 years old. He's older than me, so he couldn't be 54. He's 64 years old. Also, folks, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly in that fashion with a credit or debit card. And if you prefer snail mail, doing things the old-fashioned way through the postal service, you will see a physical address appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to that address. If you would like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what I believe, you don't have to believe lockstep in identically to what I believe, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, I try to remind my listeners every day, as you know, if you listen every day, please do not siphon money away from your regular giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that. I never want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to be in any way a harm or hindrance to the local church. I've always intended it to be a platform to the local church and to give a voice to pastors that might not be known worldwide. Of course, I do interview worldwide, globally known pastors and theologians and scholars and authors, but I also interview local pastors, and many of them would not be heard otherwise other than through this program. So please don't harm your local church by giving to us. By siphoning money away from your local giving. Also, don't put your family in financial jeopardy if you are really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God in Scripture. But if you are financially blessed, above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational purposes and trivial purposes, and you love this show, please help us remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart who have been doing that, many of you going back all the way to 2005 when we first went on the air, and some of you are first-time givers very recently. I thank you. in more ways than I can possibly describe in the English language. I thank God for you. I am grateful to you and grateful to God for you. Please never think that I underestimate the value of your gifts, no matter how large or small. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically sound, theologically sound and solid, God-honoring church that is faithful to Christ and his gospel, like New Testament Baptist Church of Larimore, North Dakota, if you're not a member of a good church, no matter where in the world you may live, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church, no matter where in the world you live. I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes right near their homes, within minutes drive from their home, that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know that the churches that they pass by every day were biblically faithful. So, if that's you, if you're a person who does not have a biblically faithful home, no matter where you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put, I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Pastor Josh Fryman of New Testament Baptist Church in Larimore, North Dakota, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Pastor Josh, you were saying before the break that people are drawing many lines. And if I could just interrupt there for a minute, there may be a danger of people misunderstanding you and coming away with the idea that there is a luxury or a liberty for them to play the safe route and remain neutral on many very important matters. To give you an example, this whole wokeness movement has made life more difficult for me when people contact me, and they contact me every single day, asking me for church recommendations. I used to be able to go to my lists, and if they were on these lists, I could, with good conscience, just pick the congregations nearest the cities and states and countries where they live and send them off that information. Now, I very often have to go and contact these churches, even if I had had their pastors on my show in years past, and ask them, where is your church on this woke movement? Because there is no way on earth I want to give my hearty recommendation to a church that supports that stuff.
Right.
And, and there are things that are both involved in the world of politics and in a theological realm. Like you were just speaking about the Lord's Supper before, communion. There are people who are teaching that it is an acceptable thing for black people to have their own private Lord's Supper services, to separate themselves from their white brothers because they want to do things in their own black way. And bringing back separation into vogue. And when the Apostle Paul mentions by name Himenaeus and Philetus for their heresy of teaching that the resurrection had already occurred at that time, don't we have an obligation to warn the saints, especially when there are men out there who once were theologically faithful, men whose books perhaps were and may still be in the libraries and bookstores of churches? I've had people on this program who 9 years ago were agreeing with me wholeheartedly on the issues that are now in the forefront of the woke movement, and they are now, 9 years later, the key people promoting these things, these heresies. So don't we have to be careful about the alleged luxury of remaining neutral and say, oh, that's political stuff, I don't need to make a stand on these things, and especially when they are not only political. The murder of unborn children, for instance, is not only political. A government giving its blessing, in fact urging parents to sexually mutilate their children who at 4 years old say, mommy, daddy, I'm not really a boy, I'm a girl, give them hormone treatments and have them surgically altered and so on. These things are so deeply satanic. How can we remain, how can we remain silent in the pulpit about them?
You don't remain silent in the pulpit about it. What I'm saying, and I guess perhaps not communicating clearly is not a good trait for a pastor to have.
Well, I'm not saying that you didn't. I'm just saying that I'm trying to clarify.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And so what I would say is that we absolutely call people out and we call ideology out. It's in the Bible. John had no problem calling out Diotrephes. Paul had no problem saying what Alexander did. Demas had forsaken me. And within the church itself, Paul withstood Peter to the faith because he was to be blamed. And that means he needed it. He needed to be rebuked. And Peter had allowed his prejudices to affect his actions, and of course that affects the gospel, and so Paul makes it very clear, hey, this is wrong. Now, what the blessing of that is Peter doesn't pull rank and say, you know, hey, I'm the apostle. He is rebuked, and I believe that he made things right. Later on, he'll write his epistle, 1 Peter, and he will write it to people in Galatia, which had to be very humbling, because Paul's already written his epistle, at least I believe he had, by then, and so he's going to know that these people have already heard that, you know, I had to be withstood to my face, you know, because of what I did. But so I praise the Lord that he, you know, uses us in spite of ourselves sometimes. So, no, I'm definitely not saying we don't engage the world. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that we don't stand in the pulpit and proclaim truth. We live in a society, Chris, where truth is falling on the street. We live in a society where Solomon would describe it as there's an evil in the land. Princes are on horse, servants are on horseback and princes are walking. People are out of their roles. It's in reverse. The order that God has created, Satan is attacking. We absolutely should be addressing it from the pulpit. What I'm saying is we have to make sure that we balance it with the answer, though. It is not enough to decry the evil in the land. We have to point people to the truth. We have to point people to the solution. So we should absolutely say that homosexuality is a sin. It's not a lifestyle choice. It goes against what God created for a man and for a woman. We should preach against transgenderism. We should preach against the all the moral issues and the what goes on TV and Hollywood and movies and what people. We absolutely should preach against sin, but God has the answer, and the answer is ultimately the gospel, but also in a relational sense, it's the family and promoting the family and showing what the Bible says about the family. Paul wrote two preachers, Timothy and Titus, and said, hey, here's what I want you to, here's what you should preach in the church. And in both times, he talked about the women teaching, the younger women. He talked about the behavior and things in the church. And these are very practical things. You know, these are involving the family. He'd write Ephesians and Colossians. He deals with the family. So there's a lot of instruction on how God wants your family. So what I'm saying is it's not enough for us to say them out there, they are bad. I have to also make sure I'm including what the Bible teaches, and that is to the husbands and wives and children sitting under the sound of my preaching, here's how you can be the light. Here's how your family can represent truth. Here's how you, just by going out to Target, and unless that's being boycotted, there's so many boycotts nowadays. Anyway, you go to Target with your children. That's a testimony, so yes, of course we should point out error, we should point out wrong, but that's not our message. And I'll give you a Bible reference for that: Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes in the synagogue, he finds the place in Isaiah, and he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. You remember that scene? And then he says, because he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and he says this, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight for those that are blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised. And that's my point, is that we don't only preach about captivity and blindness and bruising. We preach sight to the blind. We preach deliverance to the captive, and we preach liberty to those that, because sin does bruise. I mean, sin wounds, it maims, but praise the Lord that, you know, he's provided salvation. So absolutely should point out the negative and point out the sin, but we also have to live and model and display the right and truth. And my point is, I don't know that mocking people and demeaning people is the best way to do that. I'm not saying that you can't ever confront people. I think it should be done. But it's one thing to confront a person in their sin and say, look, I'm a Christian. I don't agree with you. I think you're causing a lot of harm here. But, I want to, you know, discuss this. There's a difference between that and then making fun of them because they don't agree with me on a certain position.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, for instance, there is a restaurant nearby where I live, and one of the waiting staff is obviously either a transvestite or transgendered person, as they call them. I mean, this person will always be a man, no matter how he dresses or surgically alters himself.
Right.
But I'm just using the vernacular of the day as far as transgendered is concerned. And it has actually saddened me. I have seen on several occasions, when this person's back was turned, the customers, typically guys, laughing at this person. Usually in a suppressed, muffled laugh, they're nudging each other and pointing and stuff when the person's back is turned. And of course, I would never condone that. In fact, it's not a laughing matter. It's as serious as a heart attack. Because it is tragic that this person, if this person does not repent, will go to hell. But I understand that there is a difference between confronting someone, even as John the Baptist did with Herod, about his abominable lifestyle and the sins he was committing. There's a difference between doing that and just making fun of someone. Now, I'm not saying that there is never a place for making fun of a political figure who says something or does something that's incredibly moronic, but not necessarily in a sermon. I'm talking about in some public forum. But at the same time, I do definitely take heed to what you are saying and agree with you. Let me get to some of our listener questions before we run out of time and don't get a chance to acknowledge any of them. Grady, a very faithful listener and generous supporter of this program, Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. It's always amazed me as to why anyone would want to preach anything besides God's holy scriptures if they call themselves a Christian. Does his word need to be any clearer than Romans 1, 16 and Romans 2? Timothy 3:16. Oh, I'm sorry, that was 2 Timothy 3:16, and Hebrews 4:12. When sharing the gospel with someone, I may use my testimony, but nothing is more powerful than the Holy Scriptures, which the Holy Spirit uses to convict of sin, righteousness, and truth. Do those that use the pulpit for anything else not understand that, or are they adapting to men's philosophies? That's a great question. And before you answer, I just think that there is a spectrum of ways that this is the way that the pastors are involved in introducing politics into the pulpit. There are some that are always giving clear biblical answers and refutations and alternatives to what is going on in the political realm, and their main focus are the scriptures and the gospel. But then you have also a horrible situation going on that is probably especially present in the liberal churches, the African-American church at large, where the pulpit may be predominantly, if not exclusively, used as a political soapbox. So you have a spectrum of areas. I have always said, just to say something that I'm sure you agree with as far as this topic is concerned, I feel very uncomfortable, and I have felt very uncomfortable with friends of mine who from the pulpit strongly and passionately endorse specific candidates by name, and have their candidates' name on their bumper stickers and all that, especially for a pastor I'm talking about.
Right.
Because if that person turns out to be a fraud, that person involves themselves in some kind of horrific scandal, how are you going to take back everything that you've said with passion, sometimes in an equal measure to what you are saying about the Bible? Then people are going to begin to wonder about your discernment. If you are young people, children listening, are going to be thinking, well, if he said this stuff was true about Jesus, how am I supposed to know he's not wrong, just like he said this and that about this political candidate that he was promoting? Yeah. So that's all I have to say in the matter. Maybe you could respond to what Grady has to say.
Yeah, to the heart of the question, and in response to what you just said, the only I'm not infallible. That's apparent. Ask anyone in my church. what I will tell you though, the only way that I can guarantee that I never do that is to discipline myself to preach the word. Period. In the word, there are not my opinions. It's God's word. And being led by His Spirit, and then into study, and then drawing out of the Scriptures what it says, not reading into the Scriptures what I want it to mean, but drawing out of the Scriptures, that's where the nourishment is for the church. I'm safe. There's no room for me to say, and this is why you should vote for so-and-so. You know, this is why. Now, I can give principles that are in the Scriptures, right? But I'll tell you, to this man's, was his name Grady?
Yes.
Or Brady, okay, to Grady's point, that's why it was important that the title of the program wasn't just about the churches finding the balance, but it was about the pastors in the pulpit. Because, put aside the African-American churches who use their pulpits for political purposes, every time a woman gets up behind a pulpit in what is being advertised as a church, it doesn't matter what's coming out, you know, like, that's wrong. She's disobeying the Bible, and anyone who put her up there is disobeying the Scripture.
And you're speaking specifically in the role of a preacher, not
to introduce
the next song that's going to be sung. Or
something. No. I'm talking about in a position to preach a message or to preach the word. You can't preach the word disobeying the word, right? So then this is, but that, again, that's not, the goal there is not to, how can we please the Lord here? And I know that sounds, oh, that's judgmental, you can't say that. And I say this with love in my heart. I can say that only because of what the Bible teaches. So, now we're trying to relate to the people in the pew instead of honoring the one who gave us the word. And there's a time for fellowship of the believers. There's a time to get together and have Bible studies and do devotions. But the assembly, the church, the Lord's Day is not that time. That is the time when the preacher stands up, the pastor stands up, and he preaches the Word of God, and he does it having spent time in the Word and studied the Word. I said recently at a conference, we have no business getting up saying, "Thus saith the Lord," if we haven't been in our office and in our study crying out, "Abba, Father." There's not a personal walk, and there's not going to be an authoritative message. You can copy and paste the sermon nowadays, right? I mean, you can buy sermons online. You think I'm joking? You can. You can go online and purchase sermon outlines. You can do all these things, and a lot of that's done because what's trending, what's popular, what's the vibe right now? What is the current hot topic? What's the current? How can we either address it or how can we please the people coming in the doors? Oh, these are all wrong reasons, but it's the fundamental reason why a white pastor, a black pastor, an Asian pastor, a woman gets up and speaks politically, right? They're there for the crowd's sake, and that's not why we're behind the pulpit. We're ultimately there for the Lord's sake. We are there to help the church for sure. That's absolutely true. But we're there as ambassadors of Christ. We're heralds of truth. And so, to the question, that's a good question. I don't know why people wouldn't want to preach the Bible. It should be obvious. It should be the thing that we do. I know most of your listeners would readily agree with that. And I may be preaching to the choir here, but we live in a politically incorrect, truth is politically incorrect nowadays, and so that means pulpits are going to be politically incorrect. But again, it's balance. I don't want to preach the issues themselves. I want to preach the biblical response to those issues. Can I give you a quick example?
Sure.
Okay. I don't want to frustrate you any more than I already have. on Facebook, this, and I'm not anti-Semitic. Let me just get that out in front, okay? I'm not. We ought to preach the gospel to the Jews. I'm not anti-Semitic at all, okay? But
and of course, there are many multitudes of people who would think that is anti-Semitic to preach the gospel to Jews,
right? This is the thing. In on Facebook, all right, on Twitter, I stand with Israel. I stand with Israel. I stand with Israel. And it's a lot of Christians doing it. Like, I stand with Israel, and they put the little thing on their profile picture, and they put the thing on the Facebook page, all right? And I've asked people this. So this is not, I'm guessing. I've had actual conversations with people. And we're going through the book of Acts, like I've said. I've never heard one pastor, not one commentary that I've read, have I ever heard anyone where the Jews persecute Paul, the Jews persecute Peter, say, but they're God's people, so we stand with them. That has never happened. The people that say it now, I stand with Israel, right? They see the Star of David and they get all Twitter-pated, like, these are God's people. They're not. They need the gospel. They're lost people that need Christ. They're lost people that need Christ. And let me give you an interesting statistic, all right? I'll give you two quickly. Did you know that abortion is government-funded in Israel? It's provided for in Israel. And I know a man who lives there, and this is nothing new under the sun. This is what the Pharisees were doing 2,000 years ago. Now, it's illegal, right? They've created a law that says, abortion's wrong, abortion's legal. But if your doctor says that you need it, then it's a medical issue, so it's not really an abortion. So like, there's these ways around it, okay? These loopholes, as it were. So abortion is not only allowed in Israel, it's paid for by the government. Number two is there was an article I can forward it to you after the show if you want. The top 11 cities in the world that are LGBTQ friendly. And New York City wasn't number one. San Francisco wasn't number one. Tel Aviv, Israel, was number one. The most LGBTQ friendly city in the world. And they're giving reasons why. Now, the people that stood with Israel. I said, is that the Israel you stand with? Of course it's not. It's the idea of Israel, right? The Star of David kind of represents them, this ideal of God's chosen people. But this is my point, is that you have people who are ignorant of what was really going on in the world, but they're, you know, out there making these statements, and they have no idea. So I am 100% for people being informed. I think people should be informed, because you got to be clear, like, what Israel do you stand with? Because that government is not, that's not God, those aren't God's people. Like, that government doesn't represent God, I should say. I didn't mean to say they're not. What I should have said is that government doesn't represent God. Just like America's not a Christian nation. People that say it is, it's not. America's under judgment, and rightfully so. You murder as many babies as our nation has allowed, and in the same anywhere else it would be too. But this is the Christianity today. It's very surface. It's as long as it looks good, sounds good, we can post things, and you know that. But Christianity goes so much deeper than that. And the only way to mature Christians up feed them the truth, is to feed them the scriptures. But I just wanted to give you an example of what I was talking about earlier with how, you know, Christians today, they're not, and I'm not condemning pastors, but too many Christians are malnourished, is what I'm getting at.
Yep.
Too many Christians are malnourished today, and yeah. They just are, they share a post, you know, type amen, click if you like Jesus, and it's that kind of stuff. And we can't,
right.
It's no wonder, this goes back to the Spurgeon quote earlier, it's no wonder that they can't stand it. It's no wonder that they're so depressed, and all again, because things got tough, all of a sudden they think, you know, the world's caving in. No, you're still a Christian. You're here. We're privileged to serve the Lord in this time. We are privileged to represent Christ at this time. And we have to live like it. And as pastors, we have to model that.
Right. And there, of course, and I think that you would agree with me, that there is a difference between someone who says that it is wise to support a political ally that most resembles, in the Middle East that is, something relatively similar to a constitutional republic, even though Israel has always been very tainted with socialism and so on. But as far as a political power in the Middle East, they are far more of an ally than Islamic theocracies.
Yeah, I'm not against Israel.
Right.
My point is,
right.
this is my point here. Like, politically, absolutely. I'm talking as Christians.
Yes.
As Christians who are supposed to be first and foremost believers in truth and the word. We have to be careful what we put ourselves with. So that when you referenced earlier, the person who would stand up and say, I support this candidate because, well, be careful, because what if that candidate comes out later and says, you know, this? Now, you look gullible, and Christians shouldn't ever look gullible. I mean, right? I mean, that's just the last adjective
right.
you want to be described
right.
by. And you'll believe anything. As long as it agrees with you, you believe it. That's not how Christians should be known.
Yes. And
I was just giving... Yeah,
I agree with you. And the chosen people are God's elect from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, not the nation of Israel, or not even Jews as a people. They are not the chosen people in this day and age. Ever since the gospel dam bursted open, and the Gentile nations were being drawn to God to the point where they were even outnumbering the Jews, the chosen people are people of all, Jew and Gentile alike, from every tribe
yeah.
and tongue and people and nation.
And aren't you and I grateful for that? The middle wall partition broken down between us, and praise the Lord for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I there's a man, and I hope you're able to speak to him one day. But I spoke to him recently, and this man, he's passionate about, he lives in Jerusalem. Most of his life, he's lived there. And he, with tears in his eyes, was explaining to me his burden for American churches, because he said they view all other places as a mission field. And it's almost like the Jews are just kind of, oh yeah, and then, you know, yeah, they're God's people. He said, but they're not God's people. They right. don't, they don't have Christ. So they, yeah, it's,
and much like this, much like the heresy of John Hagee, who doesn't even believe Jews need to come to Christ because they are his people already. And that's interesting right. because Jesus' primary audience when he was walking the earth were Jews that he was telling to repent. So,
well, you're assuming that John Hagee has studied the Bible.
Well, he gives the appearance that he's an expert.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to go to our final break right now. And if you have a question, please fire it off to us immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state of residence, and your country of residence. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnson and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hi.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship, and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. Mike from Monroe, New York asks you, Pastor Josh, since we are talking about ministerial balance, I was wondering where Pastor Josh sees eschatology as part of a properly balanced ministry. When I say eschatology, I'm not talking times and seasons or the typical sensational nonsense we hear from so-called prophecy experts. What I am referring to is the great hope, comfort, and joy we should experience at the prospect of the glorious second coming of our Lord Jesus when we finally inhabit the new heaven and the new earth, where pure righteousness reigns. What could be more comforting than the thought that we will one day see our Lord just as he is, and at the same time be free from sin and sinners? If you could.
Yeah. First of all, I love how you worded it, because that is exactly right. That's the answer. When Peter wrote his first epistle, he's what we call chapter 5, you know, and he's nearing the end of his letter, and he says to the elders, okay, he tells them, feed the flock, okay, feed the sheep. And he talks about leadership, don't be lords over them. Mm-hmm. But then he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's telling them, you have to feed them and you have to lead them, but keep your eyes up. Look for the Lord's return. And our Bible ends that way. You know, whatever your belief is about eschatology, as far as timing of events and things like that, all of our Bibles end the exact same way. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And what Peter was teaching that those saints in his first epistle, and the gentleman who wrote his letter, and I think, if I understood his letter correctly, he agrees with the sentiment Peter had. We can endure because we know what's coming. We're strangers and pilgrims here, but we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood. That's who we are. You know, it's hard. Job said, I can't see God, but I know God sees me. And that absolutely is what gets us through these difficult times, is that this world is not our home. We are passing through.
And of course,
we're pilgrims here.
And of course, there is a great danger of being overly critical of others who disagree on eschatology, even condemning them as being false Christians and some nonsense. You know, the differences between pre-mill, a-mill, and post-mill. There are those that take a radical view that it's my way or the highway, and I don't want any fellowship with you. And I'm sure you agree that's an extreme.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was going to say earlier, I'm not anti-Semitic, and I think that's proven because I do believe in a millennial reign of Christ, fulfilling a prophecy. But yeah, but you, I know you don't, and yet you and I are friends, and we get along just fine. At least I think we are.
Well, I got to give your website because we're out of time. It's Larimore. ntbc.org, Larimore, Larimore, ntbc.org. Thank you so much, Pastor Josh, for being such a great guest. I look forward to your return. And I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.